Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
I have reported several times from Southern California. It's come such a long way in all forms of art. The museums, the galleries. This past week, it even hosted one of the Freeze Art Fairs, which took place, this is L.A., on a movie studio lot. But it sold out most of the tickets, so a lot of folks here do care about the stuff they hang on walls as well as the stuff they can stream on screen. Now, as for theater, I am seeing several plays while visiting this month. Skipping the large venues, which bring in national tours of Broadway shows. Sting right now is appearing in The Last Ship. I'm more attracted to the many smaller ones and companies that are doing edgy, original, even daring work. So what's going on here now proves LA is anything but shallow, at least on its stages. For example, Skylight in the Los Feliz area is premiering a work called West Adams. It's about the truths and consequences of gentrification. The Fountain, a much-respected little theater in Hollywood, is offering one called Human Interest Story, which attempts to put a human face on the seemingly unsolvable homeless issue. I'll be discussing both of those next time. The one I did see this past week is playing at the Kirk Douglas Theater, which was touching in itself, since Douglas, of course, recently passed away. The show is called Until the Flood. It's a one-woman piece written by and starring Dale Landersmith. Now, I was not familiar with her work, and this one has played a few other places. One can't help but compare her to Anna Deavere Smith, at least in style. Call them documentary dramatists, presenting works featuring one performer, themselves, and acting a multitude of characters. Now, Smiths are usually actual people speaking actual words involved in some way with a true event. Until the Flood's characters are fictional composites, but they are responding to a real-life occurrence. In this case, the tragic 2014 killing of a young black man named Michael Brown by a white policeman in Ferguson, Missouri. The stage here, beautifully lit, is basically a street shrine. Hundreds of flowers and notes, rest in peace, Michael. With quick costume adjustments, Olander Smith portrays, among others, a university teacher whose politics have surprisingly lost her a friend, a chatty barbershop employee, an angry white racist who only sees one side, and a young black man who hopes to go to college. Please, God, let me get out, but is fearful he will end up like Michael Brown. The word most often running through the show is flow. Stray blood flows in my veins, an easy flow, and so on. The production is nicely done, and the audience is nicely mixed and certainly appreciative. For me, the material doesn't feel all that fresh and different, but it does flow at its own 70-minute pace. And it's a welcome version of a story, or the story behind the stories, that unfortunately never gets old. And then there is LA Theater Works, which I confess I did not know enough about. Now, this is a media arts organization, as they call themselves, which was founded in 1984 and is growing stronger than ever. I met with the power behind this unique entity, Susan Loewenberg, who filled me in on its countless activities. At least 7 plays presented each year, and several also travel the country. Many think of LA Theater Works as a home of the radio play put on stage, but Loewenberg resists that limitation these days. Though all their works are recorded, either orally or visually, not only here, but internationally. They're heard on stations in England, even China. These may be the classic works of playwrights like Arthur Miller and Oscar Wilde, but also original stories. LATW has most notably focused on important moments in American history of the last century, like the decision behind printing the Pentagon Papers. It has recorded more than 500 plays over the years, featuring longtime loyal supporters such as John Lithgow, Annette Bening, Ed Asner, Lawrence Fishburne, Harry Hamlin, and many, many more. When Loewenberg says we are cultural ambassadors to the world, she's not exaggerating. Her organization also sponsors Los Angeles' screenings of the plays at London's famed National Theater. These are shown at UCLA's James Bridges Theater. Currently, they include Fleabag, yes, that was a play, too, and All My Sons, a version receiving nice reviews on the West End, starring Sally Field. By the way, check your East Coast screenings as well, nationaltheaterliveuk.org. Finally, in May, a compilation of LA Theatre Works plays, along with production notes that take us inside the author and director's minds and process, will be published. That sounds like one that should be on the shelf of every dramatic arts section. Finally, regarding LA, the Geffen Playhouse, a higher-end and frankly less colorful, shall we say, venue, is starting something highly commendable. It will be offering its stages, there are two, as a residence for a group called the Iron Cross Productions, comprised of at least three of my favorite performers, Andre Holland, John Tyree Henry, and Sterling K. Brown, yes, all African-Americans, as well as Oscar-winning writer Terrell Alvin McCraney. They'll be there to develop new works. It sounds like a great collaboration and a quiet acknowledgement by the Geffen that it needs to find younger and more diverse audiences. And speaking of diversity, as we so often do here, one more note. Back on the East Coast, where I'll soon be returning this summer, the Williamstown Theater Festival will be opening its season with A Streetcar Named Desire. Okay, not again, you might say. Well, I might say it too, if the stars were not Audra McDonald as Blanche and Bobby Cannavale as Stanley. Would Tennessee Williams Blanche, pardon the pun, to see this colorblind production? My guess is not. Who knows? And as you know, Jill, this week, Thursday night, West Side Story finally opens, the ultimate diversity experiment. So there we go.
Or the ultimate reimagining. And
the ultimate reimagining.
And I am struck by the word reimagining. I mean, of course, you are completely within, you know, it's a free, you know, you can reimagine anything that you choose to. And I think that that's wonderful. It gets a little tricky, in my view, when you are dealing with a classic.
Yeah.
If you have an audience that isn't aware of what the classic is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I just get a little bit, you know, obviously it's the great generational divide, because in your empiric, in your research, you have discovered that certain people are all for it and certain people are not. And it, you know, it splits. And while nothing is supposed to be for everybody, and while, again, everyone is entitled to their view, where I get a little testy is when you take, I just think it's important in everything, in life, in politics, in everything. Know the context.
Yeah.
And if you don't know the context, how can you make an informed decision about what it is that you are seeing, or the validity, if you will, of the reimagining?
Yeah, this is, you know, this one is going to be debated. We both know people of our generation who were totally turned off by it. And I would probably say it's not for them. It's not for us. I'll probably get there eventually, of course. It's clearly for a new generation. Can the new generations, can they pay, you know, $200 for a ticket? That's another issue. You know, there's big screens. You're going to watch a play, but you're also watching a lot of action on big screens, which is not going to be forever. You know, I don't know how many people saw 60 Minutes last night. They went behind the scenes, and the director and the choreographer admit that this is very experimental. It's going to be it's very brave what they're doing. You know, that was one of my favorite movies ever. It clearly was one of the great plays ever. Jerome Robbins, I don't know what he's doing in his grave as we speak. Maybe he'd be saying, great, you know, great, do what you want with it. It's for all time. The songs are there, except for one, from what I hear. It's obviously a lot shorter. It's a one act. It's pretty violent. There's blood, and I think there's rape. So, you know, it's just
it's
a different story.
And what is really interesting about it is it also introduced, I mean, I am absolutely talentless when it comes to theater, Mm-hmm. But the wonderful thing was it inspired in me. We put on play. We did numbers from West Side Story. And oh my God. It ended.
My daughter played Maria. My daughter played Maria for 14 performances, you know, in a youth production.
And what it did was it ended up in its own way. It wasn't literal. Everyone understood. We didn't need to be bludgeoned. Young children did not need to be bludgeoned like harp seals. Same with The Sound of Music.
Right.
But it is the way, and it's, sorry to quote Mary Poppins here, but a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Yeah.
It is a way of showing, you know, some very complicated things. And it may be that we have now totally rewired people's brains so that they need to see it in a darker version to take it in.
And in on multiple screens sort of at the same time. You're supposed to watch a stage while you're watching all the action around it on very large screens. Again, that's not for, you know, that's for a certain generation that's used to watching multiple screens, I guess, and, you know, they can be on their computer doing homework while they're doing Facebook, while they're watching TV, while they're listening to music, you know. So it's clearly, this is made for a new generation, and we just have to stand aside and understand that the Jets and the Sharks aren't going to look different from each other. You're going to be saying, wait, is he a Jet or is he a Shark, you know? But maybe that's probably the way gangs do look nowadays. They are multi, you know, they're not just Puerto Rican over there. You know, it's a different take, and a lot of people are not happy, and I bet there'll be plenty of people, and I would imagine we'll be reading very positive reviews on Friday. But not mine, at least not yet. I'm keeping an open mind, and anyway, that's certainly we're talking diversity. That's probably about as far as you can go.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.